Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 234 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today her transcendental meditation. We're going to the meditation place. You're going to love this. We have such a terrific show. And before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because I'm sitting here waiting for your feedback. And oh boy, it's going to come in like a major wave and a rush after today's show. All right, it's time for her. Raise your hand if you've ever really tried to meditate. All right. Now, how many of you out there have heard of mindfulness meditation? I hear you. What about transcendental meditation? Well, have I got some surprises for you today. Turns out transcendental meditation is really probably one of the most time-honored forms of meditation ever. I happen to have been trained in it myself. I'm horribly biased in that regard. But quite frankly, I also did my due diligence before I did that. And I am so honored today to have with us as our guest, Bob Roth. He is the chief executive officer of the David Lynch Foundation and the author of a book that, if you don't get this, you are a major loser. All right. It is called Strength in Stillness, The Power of Transcendental Meditation. Now, Bob is one of the most experienced and sought-after meditation leaders in America. Over the past 45 years, Bob has taught transcendental meditation to thousands of people. And guess what? This also includes, Oprah, Katy Perry, major celebrities, Ellen DeGeneres. I could go on. He has spoken everywhere, all around the world. And now we finally have an opportunity to be able to hear what this is all about and why all of you in the Her podcast land need to really understand how important it is to meditate and to try transcendental meditation. Bob, welcome to the Her podcast.
Well, Dr. Pam Peek, it is a complete joy to be joining you to do anything. And before we go on, I want to say out loud, which I'm sure your listeners know, that Pam Peek, Dr. Pam Peek, is at the top, tippy top of all the human beings I know in the world for her integrity, her power, her energy, her deep sense of goodness and rightfulness and caring. So anything, Pam, that you ever want me to do, I'm on board. And I just have to say that it's an honor and a privilege to do anything with you, particularly be a guest on Her broadcast.
Well, Bob, I'm blushing here. You know, if only this wasn't, you know, a podcast, an audio podcast, you could see me blushing away. Those were such kind words. I really mean that. But,
well,
you know, I'm
truthful, truthful.
Well, truthful about everything about you, too, because people need to understand, you know, who you are, Bob, and what you've done to literally change people's lives. I know you changed mine. I'm a type A. I might have left out a few A's. And to get me to sit down and to experience that stillness and to be able to revel in it and have it benefit my life is absolutely a mind blower. And I really want people out there to understand how terribly important it is that you do check in with yourself and what this is all about. So, Bob, why don't you explain a little bit about TM the way you did so beautifully, by the way, in the book. I grabbed the audiobook immediately and I listened to it. Your voice is so soothing that it was really wonderful to hear it as I was taking long walks with my German shepherds and listening to your voice explain transcendental meditation. It's just a spectacular book. So tell us about TM.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to start, if I could, with just this analogy that I use about the ocean. Is that all right?
Oh, I love it.
That will be our perspective when we talk about transcendental meditation, mindfulness, guided meditation, because a lot of people they're interested in meditation writ large, but they're not sure what they're doing or what is. So the analogy I like to use is you're on a little boat and you're in the middle of the ocean, and all of a sudden you get these huge 30, 40, 50 foot high waves. And you could think, oh my God, the whole ocean is in upheaval. But if you did a cross-section of the ocean, you'd realize the ocean where you are is over a mile deep. And while the surface of the ocean by its nature may be turbulent, the depth of the ocean by its nature is pretty darn silent. So let's use that as an analogy for the mind, and then we'll tie it into meditation and transcendental meditation. So surface of the mind is like that choppy waves. I like to call it, some people call it the monkey mind. I like to call it the gotta mind. I'm sure you and I both have, since you and I are both type A. We'd be the first name in the phone book. That's I gotta do this and I gotta do that and I gotta call him and I gotta call her, I gotta make a list. So that's the gotta. And every one of us has a natural desire to say, boy, I'd like to have some inner calm, some inner clarity, some inner focus, some inner equanimity, and the operative word there is inner. And the question is there such a thing as an inner, and how do you get there? And Pam, this is where the whole realm of meditation comes in. So I just want, sorry for taking the time on that, but I just want to give that as a visual model. So there are three basic types of meditation. Is it okay if I go through all this sort of?
Oh, heck
stuff?
Yeah, go
okay,
for
good.
It.
So, they used to think that all meditations were the same, research-wise and just practice-wise, and then it turns out not so. According to brain research, there's three basic types. And the first is called focused attention. And that, Pam, is your classic, and for your listeners, the classic type of meditation. That's where they tell you at the end of a yoga class, okay, now we're going to meditate. I want you to clear your mind of thoughts. I remember when I went to a yoga class and with my girlfriend way back when, before I started TM, and they said, okay, clear your mind of thoughts. I leaned over to her and I said, that ain't happening, because I got a very busy mind. But that says if you want to have a calm mind, you need to, just like if you want to have a calm ocean, waves are the disruptor of calm, so get rid of the waves, you have a calm ocean. If you want to have a calm mind, thoughts disrupt calm, so get rid of the thoughts. And you have a calm mind. That's one type. Second type is called open monitoring, and that's a mindfulness approach. And that says that thoughts themselves are not the disruptor of calm, but the content of thought is the disruptor of calm. So you can have a thought about a guy named Joe, and if you don't know anybody named Joe, there's no biggie. But if you Joe done you wrong 20 years ago and you have a thought about Joe, so you get tense. So mindfulness is learning to observe, a meditation technique to observe dispassionately thoughts, moods, feelings. Transcendental meditation now, Dr. Pam Peek, I'm finally answering your question. Transcendental meditation is not a cognitive process. It's not up there on the waves. It's not dealing, minimizing thoughts, changing thoughts, suppressing thoughts, watching thoughts, visualizing things. Transcendental meditation, the third area is called self-transcending. It recognizes that there's a vertical, like the ocean, there's a vertical dimension to the mind. That deep within you and me and everyone who's listening on your wonderful podcast and everyone in the world, deep within all of us, there's a level where our mind is already settled and peaceful and calm and wide awake. And transcendental meditation is an incredibly simple natural, effortless technique that just allows the active, choppy, noisy thinking mind, wavy mind, to just settle down and experience deeper levels of thought, deeper, quieter levels of the mind, and then experience a quietest level of the mind. And when that happens, which we can talk about in a moment, a whole constellation of physiological changes take place. So,
one of the things I want to jump in here is that so many women, especially, they don't have monkey mind. They have a whole zoo in there. It seems like Mission Impossible to calm it all down. And I think a lot of people have also thought that meditation was kind of work. Like, you know, you got to stare at a candle. You have to, you know, have specific thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. I think one of the things that really impressed me with transcendental meditation was that you didn't have to do anything. You allowed your mind to just reach a level of stillness and quiet that was really extraordinary. And it was not only that, it was also refreshing, and it gave you a chance to be able to feel through a brand new place. A brand new place that you've never been before, where you can just let it all rip. You could just relax. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it completely. That notion, as I said, the ocean having that quiet depth, the idea that deep within every one of us, right now, already there, we don't have to believe in it. We don't have to even visualize it. We just, through transcendental meditation and the use of a mantra, we can talk about that later, we just settle down and access that. And as you said, effortlessly, it just allow it to happen. And the way that it happens, and this is moving right into a deeper understanding, is the mind, many people have said the mind is a monkey, and you have to, like you were just saying, you have to control it, you have to stop it. In order to have a calm mind, you have to stop your thoughts. That's like saying, I'm going to stop every wave on the surface of the ocean. That won't happen, it's even for a nanosecond. So in transcendental meditation, we don't see the mind as a monkey. We actually see the nature of the mind, given the opportunity, and this is key to TM and understanding TM, given the opportunity, the mind will always be drawn to something more satisfying, given the opportunity. So you're in one room and you're listening to terrible music, in the other room some beautiful music comes on. Where does your attention just go? Just to the beautiful music. So deep within, a lovely place, theoretically, we learn transcendental meditation from a trained teacher, give the attention of the mind an inward direction, like a dive. You teach a child how to dive. You say, just take the correct angle, and then gravity takes over. And as you said, Pam, you just, on its own, the mind is drawn inward because deeper levels are more satisfying. It's so easy. And I think one of the things that is so, it was to me when I learned it, was really, it's that easy? It's that easy? And it is.
You know, I think that a lot of people out there have been hearing about mindfulness, say, for instance. It's kind of, you know, in a lot of headlines and back and forth. Can you help people, Bob, understand the TM and mindfulness connection and how to define that?
Sure. As I use that analogy at the beginning of the ocean, of the waves on the surface and silent at its depth, mindfulness is the second type of meditation category. The first is focused attention. That's where you try to clear your mind of thoughts. But mindfulness says it's not the thoughts, it's what often the thoughts are about. Maybe it's a very sad memory of something in the past or anxious from the past. And mindfulness teaches us to be in the present, mindfully right now. Don't live 10 years ago. Just keep bringing yourself back to the present moment. And when you do that, it creates something called theta brain waves, which are 4 to 8 cycles per second. Your brain is sort of a state of deep thinking. Now, that is what they call cognitive process. That means it pertains to your thoughts, your moods, your feelings, and later your actions. Transcendental meditation has nothing to do with the, does not mind the thoughts. They're fine. They're just the waves or part of the ocean. What we do with transcendental just means deep. Transcendental meditation, we just access the silence that lies within, so that they're two completely different processes. I don't say one is better than the other. I say it's not a question of either this or that. It's a question of, yes, I like transcendental meditation, and there are many mindfulness techniques that can be useful during the day, body scans and whatever, but they're a completely different process.
I love it. Well, you know, one of the things, I'm going to play a little game here. I'm going to tell my personal experience. You're going to tell yours. When I heard your story so beautifully, elicited in the book, I thought you articulated your history beautifully and how this whole thing began. Now, we share one great thing in common. Yay, we're both UC, University of California, Berkeley graduates. I have a baccalaureate and two masters.
Some people would say survivors. Some people would say survivors.
We're not even going to go there. I'm a thriver, and there's that. But for me, I was very unhappy with the fact that I did not yet find a way to calm my own crazed brain with the gerbil wheels going at high speed. And I tried a lot of things and none of it worked. Usually, I believe I recounted to you that Herb Benson, you know, the great founder of the Harvard Mind-Body Institute, had once tried to teach me the relaxation response, and I think I lasted 11 seconds, and it just didn't work for me. And so I kind of approached TM with trepidation, thinking, oh gosh, am I going to be another failure, you know, at this? Because I really do want to find that stillness. And two of your best teachers, because you're taught by teachers over the course of 4 days, not all day long, 90 minutes a day. To your best teachers, Linda and Joseph, husband-wife team, were assigned to be mine. And lo and behold, they totally got it with where I was coming from, and were completely compassionate about my own trepidations. And I remember sitting with Linda for my very first, you know, meditation, and she said, yes, and we're going to be meditating for 20 minutes. And I said, 20 minutes? Geez, I never even lasted 11 seconds. This is going to be bizarre. But, you know, here's the thing. When I entered my meditation with my mantra, and when I came out of my meditation, I just couldn't even believe it that 20 minutes had gone by. It was one of the most restful, enjoyable. It was just a beautiful place for me to go in the middle of a crazy day. And there I was. And so from that moment on, I was hooked. And instead of being yet another thing on my plate, as it were, a to-do item to just sort of check off, I don't. What I do is I look forward to it. I look forward to it like a gift. So that was my story with this. And that was, good heavens, how many years ago was that? 7 years ago or so? And I've been at it ever since. And I really will tell you right now, it's changed my life. And I feel more at peace. And I have been able to enjoy that stillness from transcendental meditation. Now, Bob, it's your turn. You tell us how you got involved with this.
Okay, so I was an 18-year-old college student at the University of California at Berkeley, which was 3 years ago. No, it was back in 1960.
Now.
truth and talking here. I actually, my background was and I write about it in my book. I had really no interest in meditation growing up. I was interested in politics. I'd worked for Bobby Kennedy. I wanted to change the world, and I thought politics was a way to do it. So I went to Berkeley with the idea. I wasn't a radical or a hippie or a druggie. I just wanted to make a better world. And so I'm going to school full time and I'm working full time and the whole place is crazy town. And a guy I knew was doing something called transcendental meditation, and it just was not a word in my vocabulary because I'm quite a skeptical person by nature, as I know you are. And he told me, I was pretty stressed, he told me, well, you don't have to believe in anything. In fact, you can be 100% skeptical and it'll work just fine. So I decided to give it a try, and if I didn't like it, I'd quit 5 seconds after I started. And so here I am, Pam, walking in to a lovely TM Center, June 28, 1969, tightly wound, 18-year-old college kid between my freshman and sophomore year at Berkeley. They're like rioting everywhere. Also pretty smug, pretty arrogant that I wasn't going to be able to do this, and I was above all of it. And my first meditation was so relaxing, and I can't be hypnotized. Was so relaxing. It was like, oh my God. And I thought, if I could do this. So that was one of my first experiences. And I remember then one of my first thoughts after meditating was, oh, I'd like to teach this to kids. Because by then I was interested in education. So that was over 50 years ago. And as you know, now I run the David Lynch Foundation, and we brought transcendental meditation to over 1 million kids, inner city school kids, for free. And I must tell your audience, Pam, from the very, very, very beginning, has been a wonderful supporter of the work of the foundation. So that was my experience. Tightly wound kid, skeptic, and it worked like a charm.
And the other huge sector that you've touched are people with PTSD. Tell us a little bit about the research there and how transcendental meditation has made such a big difference in the lives of, for instance, our veterans.
Well, I would like to turn over to you just for a moment to talk a little bit about the neurophysiology of trauma and PTSD, and then I'll take it from there and talk about the results, because there's nobody who explains that whole thing better than you do. So I hope you don't mind me throwing it back to you. No, I'd like to just take a moment, because what is it? What is it? So I'm going to interview you. So Pam, these young men and women go over to harm's way or go over to combat, and something happens to them that basically undermines their life. 21 veterans commit suicide every day, and they can't sleep, and they can't eat, and they can't go to the bathroom, and they can't work. What happens when they have an experience of, say, a tank blowing up, which when my father was in World War II, he would have said he had battle fatigue. But now what's going on? And then I'll talk
about
what's
really going on is the fact that you have a fight-flight response. And so much of this is controlled in an area of the brain called the amygdala. And one of the things that happens, as you know, is that the fight and flight response is meant to be short term. You know, someone's running after you and then you run real quickly and then the whole thing's done. Or you fight someone and that's done. And so it's short term. What happens with trauma, and there's one thing I have to tell you. A lot of veterans come back and they've experienced trauma at the highest levels, as one can imagine, in a war zone, and they have different responses to it. So one veteran may say, yes, it was really horrible, and then they get on with life. They come back and, you know, they may be done with their tours and they leave the military and they're fairly good to go and they learn somehow to be able to adapt and adjust. Others, however, were not that lucky. And those people, they carry the trauma with them. And what happens in the brain is that the amygdala is set off into what we call hypervigilance. So it's just constantly on. Now, the amygdala was never, ever meant to be constantly on. The whole point was to be able to on and off for survival's sake. You know, like, whoops, you know, you got my attention now. I got to start running, and then we're done. But what if your brain is running 24/7? What if you're fighting 24/7? What if the memories that you have of children being blown up, of your best friend being killed or maimed or, you know, related, what if that is something that is constantly front and center in your brain? How do you deal with that? What it does, it constantly keeps you hypervigilant. That level of stress hormone, cortisol, then sets off an entire cascade of very, very destructive processes throughout the human body, including sleeplessness. Many people don't realize that to fall asleep at nighttime, your innate cortisol levels, that stress hormone, have to fall below a specific threshold unique to you. And if they don't, you're never sleeping. Or if you fall asleep for a moment, let's just say they did fall below the threshold, but those nightmares start coming back again, those memories come back, boom, there goes your cortisol again, and it spikes above the threshold, and you're awake at 1 a.m. And that level of mental angst is so bad for so many, you know, people with PTSD, especially veterans, that many of them are driven to suicide. Many of them just want an escape from the mental pain of it all. It's very difficult. And then, of course, they're triggered by daily occurrences, everything from, you know, a loud noise that reminds them of what happened in the war zone to the way someone may react to them. So it just never stops. And it's a nightmare for these people. So any relief we can give them will physiologically calm this all down. Okay, Bob, take it away.
Well, actually, that's a perfect setup, Dr. Pam Peek. So it is what transcendental meditation does is it, by giving access to that field of calm that already, or equanimity or silence or peace or whatever, that already exists deep within. So, you know, a lot of these vets come to, they're very skeptical, they're very stressed, they're frightened, they're angry, and they're not in a meditative, quote-unquote, mood. But the lovely thing about this meditation is you don't need to be in any mood. It's just a process of allowing your active, agitated mind to just settle down. And when they do that, then you could comment on this. There's a calming of the amygdala. There is the prefrontal cortex, which is your CEO of the brain, which is the part of the brain that is sort of rational filter against impulsive decisions. That comes back online. Cortisol levels go down 30 or 40%. There's an increase in serotonin, which is your happiness neurotransmitter. Whole blood pressure goes down. The whole body gains a state of sort of equanimity, of restful alertness. Now, that's lovely in and of itself, and I'm going to turn this back over to Dr. Peek in just a moment for any final comments, but over the last 15, 20 years, there's been a lot of significant peer-reviewed research done on transcendental meditation and post-traumatic stress disorder among veterans. And the research shows, and I don't need to go into a detail here, but the research shows a significant reduction in symptoms of PTSD and also simultaneously an improvement in sleep, a reduction in substance use disorder, and one of the things that's most important now is a reduction in suicidal ideation, in this tendency or these thoughts of suicide. And right now, we're working with the Veterans Administration, and I don't even know if you know this, Pam, to do what's called a Phase 3 clinical trial with 650 veterans in 6 or 8 different VA hospitals that will be the definitive study on TM and post-traumatic stress and suicide prevention. And it's being designed with the VA in sort of with their stamp of approval that if we get the same results that we've been getting in the past, it will open the doors for the VA to pay for the 1 million veterans who suffer from PTSD. They'll pay for them all to learn to meditate. So it's a very exciting time. And I think that, you know, they're looking at transcendental meditation not as some new age woo-woo thing, obviously, but as a medical intervention on par with, you know, with a stellar new pharmaceutical, new medicine that can address these problems of stress and trauma that no pill is able to do in the same way. Your comments.
And what you did so beautifully in your book was to articulate this and to make sure people understood that this is science-based, that we're learning more and more and more, and that it's already been proven to be extremely effective, especially with such tough situations like severe PTSD. And the book, again, is Strength in Stillness, The Power of Transcendental Meditation. Okay, now we have captivated the Her podcast audience. All right, their question is, what's involved? How do you find a teacher? Why do you need a teacher? Why, you know, can you just learn this online or something? What's involved to be able to learn TM? And what are the best resources, like a website, et cetera, for people to just take that first step?
Well, transcendental meditation is not, as you know, a sort of a mass meditation that you learn from a book or from a video or anything. It's an audio tape. The lovely thing about it is you have your own teacher, a highly qualified, certified teacher like Linda and Mario Orsatti, who you learned from, and I learned from my teacher, who over a period of 4 days, about an hour to an hour and a half a day, guides you in the practice, teaches you how to do it. You're given a mantra, which is a word or a sound, a couple syllables that has no meaning, but it's a good life-supporting sound. You're given a mantra, and then you're taught how to use it effortlessly, how to make use of the natural tendency of the mind to be drawn to something more satisfying and turn that attention within and like a gentle dive, settling down, just effortlessly. So that's taught over 4 consecutive days, and then there's a lifetime of follow-up. There's no membership dues here. Just in any of the thousands of TM centers in the U.S. and around the world, you have that follow-up. To find out more about the meditation, you can go, a wonderful site is tm.org, TM as in meditation, tm.org. And there's 2 wonderful books, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, Supermind. He wrote on the long-term benefits of transcendental meditation, Supermind, our mutual friend, great psychiatrist and medical researcher and author. And then you can also, my book, Strength and Stillness by Bob Roth. And then here I'm going to say something. If you're interested in learning, then I would like you to email me. I'm going to give you my email address, and it is my real one. It goes to me. And I will find you the best possible teacher in your area. I don't want you just to turn you loose to just tracking down on a website. Because why am I doing this? Because I love Pam Peek. And she has a wonderful show here. So my email address is bob@davidlynchfoundation.org. bob@davidlynchfoundation.org. And you email me and I'll answer any questions. And I'll help you find a teacher.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, my gosh. We've been talking to Bob Roth, who's the chief executive officer of the David Lynch Foundation, Transcendental Meditation. And his book is Strength in Stillness, The Power of Transcendental Meditation. It is absolutely superb. It's been long awaited. Thank heavens you wrote it. I was doing the happy dance when I heard it came out. I grabbed that copy and also have my Audible, which I listened to again and again just to listen to that soothing voice. All I can tell you is please, please, please give it a whirl. You heard how to be able to do it. Get on over there and to get to the David Lynch Foundation through Bob, through his email, as he just gave you, or tm.org. All right, Bob, I can't begin to thank you enough for being on the Her podcast.
Oh, I can't begin to thank you enough for taking your time out of the most massively busy schedule to do something like this, your Her podcast. Your audience, all of us should know listening to you that you are, and I'm no hype star. I just want to go on record here. You know, we're buddies, but Pam and I, but I'm just being 100% truthful. Anything and everything she says is based on her experience, is based on her razor sharp mind, and we would all do well to follow the advice of Dr. Pam Peek. So thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, for crying out loud, I'm back to blushing again. You know, I can't seem to be able to get out of this. Oh, Bob, you are absolutely the best. Okay, now, everyone out there, please take a minute to hit iTunes right now and rate and review the show, because I want to hear from you. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Please follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.